Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Won't you come away with me?
Welcome back, 7 to the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. Cliff Enrico is our guest, our good friend. SucceedingInYourBusiness.com is his website. He's a small business attorney. He's an author of many books, the author of many books on small businesses, including the crowdfunding handbook. Cliff, thanks again for being here. Your column is available. I know you're... Where are you published?
I'm in lots of places. I'm in a lot of newspapers around the country, but the best place is SucceedingInYourBusiness.com. That's the website.
Check that out. So we're talking about conflict resolution. In the last segment, you talked about the golden rule, the different types of buy-sell, the disability programs, these are mechanical things you can do to sustain the business, which is what all this is all about. Now you've got a time bomb example. What's that mean?
Okay, well, this is something different now. This is if all else fails, and I do this a lot with tech companies because tech companies are especially hard to value. You know, I mean, what's the value of a company that has a product that hasn't gone to market yet? Mm-hmm. You know, and somebody wants to invest at that point.
Right.
It's one of the hardest things to do.
Maybe it doesn't even have a customer.
Yeah. I mean, what, Facebook a couple of years ago paid $19 billion for that WhatsApp company that hadn't made a nickel. It was like $100 million in the red. I mean, what was the multiplier of EBITDA that the company had no profits for crying out loud?
What was this value proposition too? Right.
I was just going to say they had to use imaginary numbers to come up with that valuation. I mean, it was ridiculous. But and when all else fails, the time bomb provision is a very simple thing. You put it in your stockholders agreement, your operating agreement, whatever, and it's a sum clause that simply says, in the event of dispute, the parties will work amicably to resolve it. Provided, however, that if the dispute is not resolved or a mediator appointed within X number of days, it's usually 90 days, the company dissolves.
Really?
Everybody takes their balls and bats and goes home.
Wow.
And the founders are released from their non-competes, their IP
assignments.
And
this is something people do in advance?
Exactly.
They agree to it in advance?
They do, believe it or not, and they will agree to this because the idea is that the penalty for failure is so great, it forces them to get in the room and hammer out something that works is what it does, because the penalty is so great at that point. That's called a time bomb provision. That clock is ticking. And if a resolution doesn't happen, then everybody goes home in this company and everybody's wasted years of their lives. That's what we call it, a sword of Damocles, that thing hanging over your head.
But then do you determine who has what value? I mean, I brought the desks, you brought the computers, and
well, then you have all the issues of exactly like in any divorce, who gets what assets and stuff like that, you know. But if someone has contributed IP to the company, that person gets his intellectual property back. Usually, is what happens.
Right.
All those clauses in the agreement
stuff,
go away.
You can attribute that to you
yeah. And usually, most tech companies don't have a lot of desks and chairs anyway. It's a couple of computers, a couple of laptops.
It's usually IP.
Yeah, it's just mostly the intellectual property because that's where the value is. And that's enough to scare people enough that they end up doing the right thing, or at least they make the effort at that point because the penalty is so great.
But speaking of tech companies, when you bring on all these new layers of financing, that just really gets complicated, doesn't it? Sorting out all the different partners and the players and the later the partners, the less there is to split, but the more money they're putting in, probably.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the rounds get bigger and bigger, but also the investors get more and more demanding. They want more rights. They want to be part of the management. They want to be more partners than just investors. And that can be stressful, too, especially when you have, you know, the two brothers. They've always done everything together. They think alike. They finish each other's sentences. And now you have this third person sitting on the board who is an outsider looking out primarily for their interest, not necessarily the interest of the company. So I always tell people when an investor comes knocking on your door, it's kind of a mixed blessing. On the one hand, you know, you want their money, but on the other hand, you may not like the conditions that they attach to it. Rule number one with a tech company, whenever an investor knocks on your door, look at their resume and look at it very carefully. Mm-hmm. Is this somebody who just has money? Or is this somebody who has connections? Is this person a player in the industry who can help you get the deals that will help you grow your company and realize your exit strategy? That's the key. their contacts, their Rolodex, that's an old-fashioned term, their Outlook contacts, those things are more important at the end of the day than the money.
Rolodex. Now, I'm not old enough to remember that, Cliff. What's a Rolodex?
I know. And that really dates me, by the way, when I talk about that.
No kidding. Boy, I can still see people.
But if you do have any millennial, listeners, I frankly doubt you do.
You should have heard me talking to some millennial. You should have heard me using an Ozzy and Harriet example last week with some with an audience where there were about half millennials. I didn't even realize I was using it. I looked at their faces and it was like these what is that? Hey Cliff, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Google the word Rolodex the next time you're online.
There you go, Cliff Innicott, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back another day. I'm Jim Blasingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.